Hey, Notorious Bakersfield fans. Notorious Bakersfield the book is available for purchase. If you enjoyed this podcast, you'll love the book. Notorious Bakersfield the book dives deeper into the most infamous crimes, incidents, and personalities that have shaped Bakersfield. This literary adaptation uncovers 30 astonishing true stories from Bakersfield and Kern counties last century. Notorious stories from a notorious community. To purchase your copy, go to Amazon.com or your Amazon app and search for Notorious Bakersfield, the book. This is the Notorious Bakersfield podcast. I'm Robert Peterson, the host and creator of this podcast that takes a look back at some of Bakersfield's most notorious crimes, events, and characters. Typically, I shy away from recent stories. What do I mean by recent stories? Stories that happen in the internet age. Because usually, those stories are fairly easy to research. A simple Google search brings up everything you need to know to tell that story. I enjoy researching stories that take a little more effort than a Google search. But that's not always the case. Sometimes I come across a story that I classify as recent that grabs my attention. The story for this episode is one such story. I can't say I remember when this happened in 2013, but since starting this podcast, I became aware of it. And since it happened in 2013, I just didn't have a lot of interest in covering it. Until recently, a listener contacted me and brought this case to my attention once again. After doing a little research and discovering there were audio files that were used in the criminal proceedings, I made the decision to cover this tragic incident. I need to warn you up front, this story deals with mental illness. Some of the audio is extremely disturbing to listen to. You will hear language in this episode that you don't typically hear on this podcast. Listener discretion is advised.
Emergency.
Yes, my son and my I need the net unit, the police. My husband just shot my son. They're fighting.
Him with a gun?
There's a lot of history that led up to that 911 call. Years of Barbara and Jim Murphy dealing with their son's mental illness reached the boiling point on August 10th, 2013. As disturbing as that audio clip of the 911 call is, that's not even the most disturbing audio you'll hear for this story. This is Now You're Dead. James and Barbara Murphy were a married couple living in the 10,900 block of Artist Court in Northwest Bakersfield. Jim was retired military. He achieved the rank of major after a 23-year career in the United States Army. In the summer of 2013, he was 74 years old. His wife Barbara was a few years younger. She was 68. Jim and Barbara had two adult sons. They raised their family here in Bakersfield. Jeff, their eldest, graduated from high school, attended Bakersfield College for a bit before enlisting in the United States Army. It seemed he was following in the same career path as his father. Jeff Murphy served in the Army from 2003 to 2005. He was discharged from the service with other than honorable conditions. After separating from the Army, Jeff sought treatment for alcohol dependency. He attended self-help meetings. That's where he met his future wife, while attending those meetings. After getting married, Jeff and his new wife moved to the Bay Area. While living in the Bay Area, Jeff experienced a significant psychotic episode in 2009. This episode was so severe, Jeff required hospitalization. After he was released from the hospital, Jeff received ongoing mental health care on a regular basis from 2009 to 2013. While living away from Bakersfield, Jeff didn't stay in close contact with his parents. They only communicated sporadically. The only real job Jeff held while living up north was as a security guard, and he only had that job for about a month. He and his wife survived on her disability check. In 2013, Jeff and his wife separated. When Jim and Barbara heard about their son's marital problems, they reached out. They told him if he wanted, he could move back to Bakersfield to live with them in their house on Artis Court. Jeff returned to Bakersfield to live with his parents in July 2013. The move back to his hometown had little effect on Jeff Murphy's mental health. During the first couple of weeks living with his parents, he suffered severe depression. According to Barbara, her son often expressed to her remorse for having wasted so much of his life. On July 16, 2013, Jim took his son to the Mary Kay Shell Center, a mental health facility in Bakersfield. Seeking help to find a local doctor who could prescribe Jeff psychiatric medication. By the end of July, Jeff Murphy's depression improved. But this improvement coincided with a new mental health concern. He began expressing delusional and paranoid behavior. He told his parents the Department of Homeland Security had recruited him, gave him a large sum of money as a signing bonus. He also claimed the government had him under surveillance. On July 30, 2013, just before midnight, James Murphy dialed 911 seeking police aid because his son persisted in questioning his mother about a delusional conspiracy. He believed a baby picture of his wasn't him at all, that this picture was actually that of his younger brother. The dispatcher informed Jim of a delayed response due to other police matters. At 2:18 a.m., Jim contacted law enforcement to retract his earlier request as his son was no longer agitated. Things had calmed down in the Murphy household, and everyone was ready to go to bed. Jeff's behavior became worse in the first week of August. He started behaving as though his parents' residence was a military base, and he assumed the role of commanding officer. He asserted authority over the household by claiming a higher rank than his parents. Do I need to remind you that Jim Murphy retired at the rank of major, and his son's discharge wasn't honorable? Jeff posted a list of rules on his bedroom door, a list of things he was forbidding his parents from doing. If either Jim or Barbara violated these rules, Jeff would verbally berate them, scream in their faces, and threaten them like they were in a military boot camp. Jeff Murphy was terrorizing his parents in their own home. They were at their wits' end. Jim and Barbara's only option was to get a restraining order against their son. After a week of being on the receiving end of their son's verbal assaults, Jim and Barbara Murphy secretly met with an attorney. During this consultation, the attorney agreed to file the necessary paperwork for the couple to get a restraining order against Jeff. But this attorney was skeptical a judge would grant a restraining order since neither one had actually been physically assaulted. Later that evening, Jim and Barbara talked to a relative. They told this relative their dilemma, that Jeff was verbally abusive towards them, but the abuse hadn't actually escalated to physical abuse. This relative advised the Murphys to record their interactions with Jeff to conceal Jim's iPhone to capture Jeff's erratic and abusive behavior, so they'd have video evidence to show authorities if there was any doubt about the level of abuse they were suffering. 2 days later, in the morning of August 10th, 2013, Jeff was particularly agitated. He told Barbara he wanted her to take him to the store. James concealed the iPhone behind the chair he was using in the living room. He pressed the record button and sat down. The phone was positioned just behind Jim's right shoulder. The 28-minute video begins with James positioning the phone in place. After sitting down, it shows Jim's left foot as he crosses his legs and rests that foot on his right knee. Jim is only wearing socks on his feet. Most of the rest of his body is out of view of the camera. But you can see he's wearing tan cargo shorts and a plaid shirt. A long-haired cat is lounging on the ground in front of his chair. Barbara, his wife, is sitting in a recliner across the living room. She's wearing either a house coat or nightgown, it's hard to tell. Only her raised legs are visible as she reclines back in her chair. At this point in the video, Jeff is not in the room. This is audio from the video recording. I edited it for time considerations. Again, I'm going to warn you, the audio may be disturbing to listen to.
Do you have a plan? How do you want to proceed on this? How do you want to proceed on this?
He's got to physically assault one of us.
No, he doesn't.
There's no way, other way to stop it other than when he's by calling out on the line. We hope for that. But they still have to get here before he does something.
Well, I'd like you to record it if you could.
I have
it on. Okay. If we don't record something, when he does not assault us, we're going to look stupid if we don't have the recording to show what's going on.
Those voices in the clip are Jim and Barbara Murphy discussing their situation. She asks her husband what his plan is. The couple seems to disagree about whether they need to document the physical abuse. Jim assures his wife he's recording. While Jim reads a newspaper, the couple discuss other topics unrelated to their predicament. Background noise that seems to be coming from another room is heard. I assume this is Jeff milling about the house. Just under 12 minutes into the video, Jeff enters the living room and walks up to the recliner his mother is sitting in.
Is that ready?
Yeah.
Well, you want to go?
No.
You don't want to go?
Sure,
all right, so I'll just go.
You're not going to just go.
How the fuck are you going to tell me that? I'm going to go. And you guys can just stay here and do your thing. But I need some things that I need to take care of.
Like what?
You none of your fucking business. How about the groceries? How about a couple things? I don't have much time here. I don't. Carried away in debt or bothered. So,
Dad's,
either way.
Dad said make a list.
I got a list. Here, I'm going to go get my list. I'm going to go. So, either you're up now or what? I'm not going to sit here and do this. This is, you're the child. You're older than me, okay? You know what the fuck I'm saying. It's coming out. We're going. Now. Me and you. In public. 5 minutes.
I'm not going to be ready.
Well, then give me the keys, because I'm going.
No, I'm not giving you the keys.
Well, then I'm calling the fucking police.
Call the police.
You ready for that?
Yeah.
All right, good. Oh, that's right. You guys already tried. Didn't work out, did it?
Yeah, you probably aren't going to get any further than I did.
Oh, isn't that interesting? You think so?
You think if you call the police, they'll come and make you...
No, I think I'm just going to take your keys at this point.
He's looking for the keys to the car.
Are they? Do you know where they are?
Yes, they're on the...
Yeah. So, you all ready?
No.
We need him. Bitch, this is a prison! You do what I say! Stop it! Why are you being so fucking combative? I see you're tired, not feeling well. Why don't you just give me the car, give me a few bucks, and I'll go take care of it.
Jeff, we had such a nice day yesterday.
I don't give a shit. I hope it was wrecked with thoughts of how fucking terrible this can continue to be. Should you continue on like this? Let's go.
Jeff.
Jeff, what? Let's go. That's right, you got an order. You want to disobey the whole fucking United States right now?
Yeah, I'd like to see it in writing.
I have it in writing, bitch. It's right here.
Well, go show me. I don't know why you can't wait.
Why do I need you? You fucking forgot. All you are right now is a goddamn checkbook.
Oh, that might be.
That may be what you don't have words edgewise. You want me to shut you down totally? Shut up! You're the one I gotta get through. Dad already gets it. He's ex-military, so he knows what to do. He knows fucking better. You don't do what you're doing right now to me. You've had enough? Give me the keys then, or we're going in 5 minutes. That's what you get. Wipe your ass and we're going in 5 minutes, or you give me the keys, or I will fucking call the police and tell them to come here.
Okay, call them now.
Fuck you. I'll call them when I'm ready. Yeah!
No, you aren't gonna call them.
I'll stomp your ass, and they won't even fucking do anything about it. You know how sick that is?
Why would you stomp my ass?
Because you're being a little shit. I'm not your daddy. I'm your fucking son. Come hell bound, bitch! Yeah, I'm yelling at you! I don't care if you bore me. You don't even fucking give me a real baby picture! I know who that is! I remember Jason getting wheeled in the fucking stroller, bitch! I was 3 and a half. Yeah, I had memory then. Remember, I was talking at one! Remember, bitch, I am the Antichrist! Fuck you!
Jeff, please.
I am the Antichrist, motherfucker, if you ever thought about it.
What exactly is...
Shut up!
...is the Antichrist?
5 minutes!
No.
This exchange between Barbara and her son, Jeff, continues on for several more minutes. Several more minutes of verbal abuse directed at Barbara. All while this is happening, Jim is sitting in his chair, not saying anything. You can see his socked foot nervously twitch. Jeff leaves the room and returns carrying a long lighter, a lighter that is used to ignite a barbecue grill or fireplace. For some reason, Jeff's attention shifts to his father. Jeff addresses him as Major. Then, as quickly as his attention was diverted to his dad, Jeff focuses again on his mother. In a threatening manner, he points the lighter in the direction of Barbara. He lights the flame.
Okay.
Major, don't even think about it.
Okay.
I'll do you next. You're my favorite.
Why don't you put that thing away? That's where you're... Don't hit me!
Didn't hit you.
You did too, you poked
it. You battered the fuck out of me as a child, even kicked me in the balls, so fuck you.
I never kicked
you. Fuck you, I have a better memory than you. It's eidetic! E-D-E!
I did not kick you in the balls.
E-I-D-E-T-I-C, excuse me.
Do you remember when I got a little mad there? Finger?
Did you catch that one, Major?
I caught it.
Good. I'm right, right?
Yep.
Alright. Not the first time, though, of course.
Don't you remember when you broke my finger?
I was so good that you deserved it. You little bitch. You were slapping me while I was driving. Fuck you.
You okay?
Fuck you!
Stop.
Fuck you!
Okay.
At this point in the video, Jim rises from his chair. He says that's enough. He levels a handgun at his son and fires a shot. As you hear the shot and its echo, Jeff pivots away. Barbara is seen grabbing a cordless phone while scrambling from her chair. She drops the phone and reaches down to pick it up. After securing the phone in her hand, Barbara is seen rushing out the front door.
That's enough.
All right, Dad. Oh, you motherfucker! You shot me! Are you serious? Are you fucking serious, motherfucker? You motherfucker! I'm gonna kill you! I'm gonna kill you! How'd you get this gun? How'd you get it?
Despite being shot in the chest, Jeff remains on his feet. He lunges at his father. A struggle is heard off camera. What is heard can only be interpreted as fists punching bare skin. Jeff's voice is the only one heard. He cusses. As far as I can tell, Jim doesn't say anything during this altercation. Then a second gunshot is heard. Jeff managed to wrestle the firearm away from his elderly father and shoot him in the head. For over a minute, Jeff was punching his father. Keep in mind, the majority of this portion of the altercation takes place out of view of the camera.
Now you're dead. Now you're dead. Told you.
Towards the end of that clip, after the sound of the gunshot, that's Jeff's voice saying, "Now you're dead," and breathlessly repeating, "Now you're dead." Later, Jeff is seen walking to the entryway. He faces a wall and lifts up his shirt. It's assumed he's using a mirror in that area to examine the wound to his chest. After looking at the wound, he walks out of view of the camera. You can hear Jeff talking to somebody. His voice is the only one heard. He's talking to a 911 operator. He grabbed a landline phone. Remember when the violence first erupted, when Jim first shot his son, Barbara grabbed a cordless phone and scurried out the front door. Jeff interrupted the conversation Barbara was having with the 911 operator.
Hello? Hello? This is Jeff. I need you over here now. I don't know. I need you over here now. Yes. I've been shot through the chest. My father did. Need to hurry. He's on the floor. Okay, I need you to hurry.
Here's an audio clip of the actual 911 call Barbara placed when she ran out of the house. The male voice you will hear is Jeff's when he picked up the phone from inside the house. I've edited this audio clip for time purposes and to remove personal information.
911 emergency.
Yes, my son and my dad. I need the Met unit, the police. My husband just shot my son. They're fighting.
You shot him with a gun?
Yes.
Okay, what's your address, ma'am?
Artist Court. And it's off of...
That's okay. Well, they'll find it. What's...
Oh, he just shot again. I just heard a shot.
All right, hold on 1 second. So they were fighting.
My son is crazy. He's manic depressive. His office medications. He's been
doing it. He did it to protect himself and yourself?
Yes, he did. I don't know who shot who? I just ran out of the house and grabbed.
All right. What's your
having grabbed the phone.
What's your husband's name, ma'am?
Jim Murphy.
And
my son's name is Jeff Murphy.
Okay.
Jim, I'm Barbara Murphy.
Ma'am, what's your is he white, black, or Hispanic? What's his race and age?
We're white. He's 74.
Okay. And the Jeff, what's his how old is he?
33.
Okay, is anybody hurt?
I don't know. I'm not going back in the house.
Oh, okay.
No. We've been having problems with him, and finally they said because he hasn't hurt us, so we can't do anything. And then he pulled up the lighter and started putting it in my face and threatening us.
Okay. What's your name?
And they said, call my name. Barbara.
Barbara? Okay. What's your phone number real quick? On the line. I'm going to put you on hold real quick while I start medical aid also. We got police on the way right now, but I also want to have medical aid respond also just in case someone's hurt, okay? So don't hang up, okay? Hold on.
I won't.
Hello?
Barbara, are you... Hello? Is this...
Hello?
Hi, it's the police department. Is this...
This is Jeff.
Jeff.
I need you over here now.
Okay, Jeff, where's your mom at?
I don't know. I need you over here now.
We're on the way right now. What happened? Are you hurt?
Yes.
Okay. Your dad shot you?
Yes.
Okay.
My father did.
Okay. One second.
Need to hurry.
Where's your dad at right now?
He's on the floor.
Okay. Is he shot?
I need you to hurry.
Is he shot? We're on the way. Is he shot?
Okay.
Jeff, is your dad shot away? Barbara?
No, Barbara?
Yes?
Is
your husband shot also?
When first responders arrived to the address on Artist Court, Jim Murphy lay dead on the kitchen floor, killed by the same gun he intended to use as self-defense from his own son. The gun was later identified as a 9mm handgun. As for his son, Jeff Murphy, he survived his injuries, survived the gunshot wound to his chest. There's no record of how serious that wound was. Since Jeff remained standing immediately after being shot, I'm going to say that the gunshot wound wasn't too serious. Jeff's involuntary defensive pivot away from his father possibly saved the younger man from more serious injuries. And since he was able to brutally assault his father after being shot, also suggests a less serious injury than you'd expect from being shot in the chest by a 9mm bullet. When I say Jeff brutally assaulted his father, this is what the pathologist concluded. The 74-year-old decedent, identified as James Murphy, quote, sustained blunt force trauma to his head and body prior to being shot. An assortment of abrasions, contusions, and lacerations were visible throughout the face, chest, arms, and legs, unquote. The pathologist determined the fatal injury was a single gunshot wound to the head. A muzzle imprint indicates the barrel of the firearm was pressed against the skin when it was fired. Detectives interviewed Jeff Murphy at the hospital. He basically admitted to everything you heard in the audio of the video. He said his father overreacted by pulling the gun and shooting him. He asserted that he physically assaulted and shot his father in self-defense. Jeff Murphy was charged with elder abuse, making criminal threats, and first-degree murder. He later pleaded innocent to those charges. As prosecutors were building a case against Jeff Murphy, it was discovered he had been doing some online research before the crime. He'd been researching inheritance law and ways to burn down a house without getting caught. Jeff Murphy went on trial in the summer of 2014. The district attorney contended that James Murphy was incapacitated from the beating he received from his son, They claim the older Murphy was no longer a threat to Jeff when he was shot in the head at point-blank range. Barbara testified in the trial that the couple had two firearms that they stored in the garage, but she maintained she was unaware her husband had retrieved one of those weapons prior to the shooting. The first she knew her husband had possession of the gun was when he rose out of his chair and fired it. Jeff's attorney argued self-defense, something Jeff claimed from the very beginning when detectives first questioned him in the hospital. It should be noted, Jeff Murphy's attorney never introduced an insanity defense. The theory proposed by his defense attorney was this: that James and Barbara Murphy conspired to kill their son. They deliberately provoked a confrontation to create grounds for a justifiable homicide defense. In the attorney's closing arguments, she stated, quote, "James Murphy was waiting for Jeff to physically assault one of them. He was waiting for that right moment." That sounds a lot like premeditation and deliberation, not from Jeff, but from his parents. They were waiting for the right moment to shoot him, unquote. Almost 1 year to the day of the crime, a jury found Jeff Murphy guilty on all charges. Evidently, the jury agreed with the prosecution that after Jim Murphy shot his son, the younger Murphy was successful in overpowering and subduing his father. What happened after that? After the threat was no longer a threat? When Jeff turned the gun on his father and pulled the trigger, the jury concluded that that action crossed the line from self-defense to homicide. Taking into account the firearm enhancements, Jeff was sentenced to a total of 53 years, 8 months to life. Before he was sentenced, Jeff told the court that he was frustrated that his parents didn't believe him about being recruited by various government agencies, and that they didn't believe he'd invented a new Braille letter. He said, quote, "It's not a delusional fantasy of mine," unquote. The day her son's prison sentence was handed down, Barbara Murphy was quoted in the Bakersfield, Californian as saying, quote, "This has been a year of anger, confusion, sadness, and relief that this has finally been resolved," unquote. Jeff Murphy appealed his case. He lost. He is currently incarcerated at Corcoran State Prison. Links to the video are in the show notes of this podcast. To view the video that Jim Murphy recorded of this crime, check out the show notes and follow the links. Resources used to research the story: the Bakersfield Californian, casetext.com, People vs. Murphy, and the 911 audio and video exhibits used during the trial. I'd like to also thank and acknowledge Paul Linfesty for helping me with some of the technical issues I had with the 911 and video audio. This is Robert Peterson. Thank you for listening to this episode. I'll be back next week, next Tuesday, with another notorious Bakersfield story. Until then, stay safe, stay out of trouble. Don't become a future episode of the Notorious Bakersfield podcast.
Just helping out with your facts there.